If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The winless Edmonton Elks fired head coach and general manager Chris Jones after last week's loss to the Ottawa Redblacks and will head to the nation's capital as 2.5-point underdogs for the second half of a home-and-home on Friday night under interim head coach Jarius Jackson. The McLeod Bethel Thompson will remain the team starter. Jackson has already hinted that Trey Ford could become more involved in the offense. Meanwhile, the Redblacks are looking to improve to 4-2 for the first time since 2018, which also, JC, happens to be the last time this team made the playoffs. Who you got in this one?
Well, usually when you fire a head coach, you get a little bit of a bump, a burst of energy, a culture change in the organization that lends itself to a win. And you would think that playing the same opponent back-to-back weeks would help that phenomenon because you know what to expect. And the Elks, frankly, should have won that game last week. But I don't think that has an effect when you fire your coach on a short week with travel involved. That is the worst possible time to make this move, in particular because before that previous loss to Ottawa, the Elks had a 17-day break between games. Surely that was the time when you should have let Chris Jones go. This organization is so poor right now, they can't even fire people right, Hodge. So how am I supposed to pick them in this game when they're going on the road with all that mayhem? I'm going with the Ottawa Redblacks for this one, although I'm not going to pick them to cover because I think the margin's going to be just as close as it was last week.
Yeah, I'm taking the Edmonton Elks to cover the spread here, and I'm actually going to take them to win this game for the reasons that you mentioned. I think they're going to get a nice little bump from the coaching change, right? We generally see that happen, and the Elks have been in all of the games that they've lost. They're 0-5, but they have been close. I'll also say this, Jarius Jackson, as a very first-time head coach, will inevitably make at least one mistake managing this one. But you can't do a worse job than Chris Jones did of managing the last minute last week. Like, literally every coaching mistake. Our guy Ben Grant wrote a fantastic article. If you haven't read it, please do. Breaking down every mistake that the Elks made in the late goings of that loss last week at Commonwealth Stadium. I've got the Edmonton Elks to win coming off the fire the coach, dead cat bounce, whatever you want to call it. I think they finally get it done here. I would love to see Trey Ford involved in the offense. Yes, I think McLeod Bethel-Thompson is rightfully the starter, but you can't keep leaving your best athlete, arguably your best offensive weapon, on the bench. So we'll see if that happens. If not, it is a short week, as you mentioned. That's understandable. But if the Edmonton Elks want any chance of recuperating this season and really getting things back on track, I think they've got to get Trey Ford involved, just like Winnipeg is getting Chris Streveler involved in the offense, just like we've seen other athletic quarterbacks rotating in their respective cities across the country. The Saskatchewan Roughriders are 3.5-point underdogs at home to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers on Friday night as Shea Patterson will make his third straight start under center, with Trevor Harris still out due to a knee injury. The Riders will debut their new obsidian green alternate uniforms in this one, while the Blue Bombers look to win a third straight game, coming off home victories over the Red Blacks and Stampeders. Can the Riders win this game or, at the very least, cover the spread?
Saskatchewan has done an admirable job of surviving without Trevor Harris because they have a formula for victory, right? Don't commit too many big mistakes on offense and get big plays from your defense. But the Winnipeg Blue Bombers seem to have figured it out after early season struggles. They're finally starting to click offensively. Zach Collaros found Ontario Pokey Wilson for a whole oogle of yards last week. Brady Oliveira has been over 100 yards on the ground in each of the last 2 weeks. That's going to be a tough offense to stop. And frankly, I think Patterson's numbers don't indicate how well he's playing. They've been inflated a little bit by some excellent after-the-catch efforts by his receivers, particularly Samuel Emelis, who went off for 160-some yards in that game against BC, of which 100 came on two big plays that were completely uncovered, essentially, by the BC Lions. I think Patterson's going to struggle a little bit in this one against the Winnipeg secondary.
I am on the complete opposite side of this game as UJC. I'm taking the Riders to cover and win at home at Mosaic Stadium. The Bombers, you're right, have got the run game going the last couple weeks with that offensive line being challenged to be more physical. However, the Riders are the number one team in the CFL against the run. Jameer Thurman has been sensational. They're getting more healthy along that defensive line in this one. I think that they're going to be able to do a good job keeping Winnipeg's offense one-dimensional. And I think the book is kind of out now on Ontario Pokey Wilson. Like, I think he was a little bit of a secret weapon for them, not super used right through the first few games of the year. All of a sudden, Saskatchewan knows exactly where to roll their coverage in this one, and that is toward Pokey at boundary wideout. And then on the other side of the ball, Saskatchewan, if they can do a good job of protecting the football, I think Winnipeg's defense is vulnerable after the catch, right? We saw Jalen Philpott have a huge explosion play right at the start of last week, Winnipeg and Calgary. Same thing, Dedrick Mills was running free through that defense at times. I know Mike O'Shea postgame said, to start the game last week, Winnipeg's defense was not moving its feet. They were standing around using their eyes, watching other people trying to make tackles instead of getting on their horse and doing it themselves. So if there is a particular way that this defense is vulnerable, I do think that it's after the catch. And so I am taking the Riders to win and cover. And by the way, anytime the Riders are getting points at home, I'm happy to eat those up, because Mosaic Stadium, though it's not as full as it once was, still a tough place to play.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The winless Hamilton Tiger Cats are 3-point underdogs at home to the Toronto Argonauts on Saturday night, where they'll look to earn their first win coming off a bye. The Ticats got thumped by the BC Lions 2 weeks ago as Vernon Adams Jr. shredded the team's young secondary, while the Argos got an impressive upset win over the previously undefeated Montreal Alouettes, getting touchdowns on defense and special teams, courtesy of Wynton McManus and Janarian Grant. Who's going to take the Battle of Ontario?
Well, we know that Toronto has a formula for victory right now, and that has been getting big plays on defense and special teams while not making mistakes on offense and running the ball. But if there was a team in the entire CFL that you could finally get Cameron Dukes going a little bit through the air and start to press the ball down the field, it's the Hamilton Tiger Cats, because that secondary was as bad as I've ever seen in my lifetime of watching football when they played the BC Lions 2 weeks ago. Yes, they've had a bye week to clean that up, and teams are often better coming off a bye. But at this stage, I simply don't trust Hamilton in any way, shape, or form to get things squared away. I think they've got major personnel issues on the defensive side of the ball. Going back to free agency, we talked about them needing to do more there. They didn't. They are seeing the results of that right now. And I think overall, it's going to be the Argos, who are the more talented team, who go on the road in a hostile environment. Believe me, Hodge, it's going to be extra hostile given the fact that they don't have any wins right now, and they pull out another victory against the Ticats.
Yeah, you can't trust the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and usually off a bye, right, you think, okay, this team is rested, they've had time to go back and self-scout, watch the film, all that. I don't trust the Hamilton Tiger Cats coaching staff right now. Like, the product they put on the field against BC, yes, we know how good the BC Lions offense is, but it was a shameful performance, to be perfectly frank. You had people running open through the secondary. That game was over at halftime, and a bunch of people left, right? These are the Steel Town faithful. These are the Tiger Town folks. These people do not quit on their Hamilton Tiger Cats. Well, they did 2 weeks ago before the bye. And I don't blame them, right? We've seen Bo Levi Mitchell and that offense look productive at times, but a lot of that production has come with games out of hand so far this season. You know, they're 0-5, Edmonton's 0-5, but Edmonton has played teams closer. Hamilton is number 9 in our power rankings for a reason. And, you know, Cameron Dukes, I think, did a great job against the Alouettes. No, he didn't throw for 5 touchdowns, but he protected the football, which is what he's done, right, in all of Toronto's wins so far this season. The game in Regina, the loss to Saskatchewan, was really bad. He threw 4 picks in that one. If he protects the football, I think the Toronto Argonauts win this game, and I think they cover. Just don't trust the Hamilton Tiger Cats. And, JC, I'm going to go on the record right now and say I will be picking against the Hamilton Tiger Cats until they prove me wrong, until this team shows urgency, until they show signs of life, until they show any reason to believe in them. I will be picking against the Ticats until they force me to do otherwise. So I will take the Toronto Argonauts. I'm happy to eat a field goal because, yes, Tim Hortons Field is a tough place to play, but we also know a lot of Argos fans will be making the trip down the QEW. The Argos fans are not the largest group in the CFL, but they are mighty in their passion and their volume. I'm happy to take the Argos here. The Calgary Stampeders are 4.5-point home underdogs to the BC Lions on Sunday night, as the team will look to get back in the win column following road losses to the Alouettes and Blue Bombers. Vernon Adams Jr. is playing at an MOP clip for the Lions, as he's on pace for 6,600 yards this season, while Jake Mayer has been up and down all year for the Stamps, throwing for 300 yards, but also 2 costly interceptions in Winnipeg last week. Can Calgary even their record with an upset win in this one?
No. No, they cannot. I mean, this is just simply a bad matchup for the Calgary Stampeders, because we've seen them struggle on the back end on defense, right? Their secondary hasn't been particularly good this year. We've seen a real decline, I think, from Trey Roberson at one corner spot. Tyler Richardson has struggled a little bit at the other. There have been some hiccups at the halfback spots as well. And now they're going to go up against the most explosive offense, bar none, in the CFL with Alexander Hollins taking the top off and Justin McKinnis coming across the middle, converting first down after first down after first down. Frankly, I don't care how many yards Jake Mayer throws for in this game. I don't think he has the horses, pun intended, to compete with the BC Lions right now. I think this could potentially be a bit of a bloodbath, so I'm taking the Lions and any points I can get.
I'm actually surprised that this spread isn't wider. I was expecting this to be a 6 or 7 point spread in favor of the Lions at McMahon Stadium. It's only 4.5 right now, so I'm more than happy to take that, eat that. The Lions are just on another level right now offensively, and something I'm interested to see is the Calgary Stampeders. I think Brent Monson is one of the best defensive coordinators in the league, but I don't think he has the personnel right now. Defensively, they're actually the 9th ranked rush defense. So if William Stanback can get going for the BC Lions on the ground here, this one's over, I think, because nobody's going to stop the Lions through the air. If the Lions can also get it done on the ground, that offense is going to put up a bundle of points. They're going to control the clock and make it really tough for not just the Stamps, but anybody to beat them right now. Vernon Adams Jr., we mentioned it in the intro, playing at a true MOP type level. Justin McKinnis, Alexander Hollins have been unbelievable. It's also possible, we don't have the depth charts as of the recording of this, but they could also get TJ Lee back in that secondary. That's going to help definitely on the defensive side of the ball. And as for the Stamps, I mean, Jake Mayer, you know, he's pushed the ball downfield at times this year. There have also been times where he's tried it and it's looked bad. You know, you look at last week with the pick six to Dietrich Nichols, but he's also not going to be able to beat the Lions by just checking this ball down 100 times like he did a couple weeks ago against the Alouettes. So this is a tough matchup for the Stampeders. I'm more than happy to take the Lions. And my other question, JC, is, are we going to see a fight in the parking lot, right? We've seen that recently when the BC Lions go to McMahon, that there's a high school rival-esque showdown in the parking lot after the game. I want to see it. Are we getting one this year? If so, I hope we get it on film, just like we got the last one.
Well, I think Lucky Whitehead is now in Winnipeg and no longer in BC. That was more beef between him and Cameron Judge that sparked that particular incident. So now that he's out of town, I'm not sure that they will be out like a couple of greaser gangs from the 1950s. With switchblades and slick back hair.
Well, last week in Winnipeg, the Stamps were in town, but it also rained right after the game. So maybe that's why we didn't see any shenanigans post-game in the parking lot, at least that I'm aware of. It's possible something happened I didn't see. But regardless, we thank you as always for listening to the Three Down Nation podcast, watching us on YouTube, Twitter, everywhere where you can get video. And we wish you the very best in week 7 in the CFL. 2 Friday games, 1 Saturday, 1 Sunday. Looks like a good week of action. And please remember to join us next week. Monday, we'll have the next full episode of the Three Down Nation podcast with the two of us, plus Justin Dunk. And then we will, of course, do our picks later on in the week. Enjoy week 7. Check back for our analysis next week.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.